planned on actually preaching this message this morning, and could not get it finished to my satisfaction, and I feel like I still don't have that accomplished, but sometimes you just go ahead and try to preach it and trust the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I had to go back. I realized early this morning that I had too much stuff, and I had to go back and take out a lot of things that I wanted to say. Hopefully, I have not taken out too much to do harm or to the subject. Psalm number 23 is going to be my text, as you can tell by the screen. I just want to talk to you tonight a little while about the fact that God cares for us. Now, I just thought about that a lot this week and meditated on that great truth. And the subject, you understand, and one of the reasons I had so much stuff, the subject is so immense. I mean, you start thinking about all the ways that God takes care of us, and you're going to be there for a while. So I hope I've whittled it down enough to fit it in tonight. I'm not going to try to preach you a barn burner, as the old saying goes. This is not going to be an exciting message by any stretch of the imagination, not one that somebody will ask me to preach again, I don't think. It's for here and now, and it's just something I've been thinking about throughout the week. Listen, one thing you can bank on, and that is that even if nobody else cares, God cares for us. That's for certain. Now, to say this is a familiar passage, it would be an understatement, I suppose. If John 3:16 is the most familiar verse in the Bible, Psalm 23 has to be the most famous chapter. I understand that going in, and I know going in, I'm not going to say anything new or novel to you this evening, anything you've not heard over and over again. So if you have your Bibles open there in Psalm 23, I'm going to just read one verse to you to begin with tonight. I was listening one time to Adrian Rogers as I was driving down the road. And there's not many fellas, to be honest with you, that I will listen to on the radio. Adrian Rogers is one of those. He's with the Lord now. Didn't agree with everything he said, but I don't have to. I think he's with the Lord. But I was listening to him preach one time, and he was preaching out of Psalm 23. And he talked about the fact that this psalm is so familiar to us and has become so familiar to most of us that many times we actually miss, if we're not very careful, some of the blessed truths contained in these six short verses of this psalm. And I think that's so. He gave an illustration. He told a story about a botanist one day who was out in the middle of a field and kneeling down with a magnifying glass and examining a little flower. And this big brawny farmer came up to him and watched him for a long time, and he thought that was the craziest thing he'd ever seen. I mean, here's a grown man on his knees in the field staring at a flower through a magnifying glass. And so he watched him a long time, and the botanist looked around, and he saw the farmer standing there. He could tell by the expression on his face what he thought. And so he stood up, and he said, "Sir, you take a look." Well, the farmer thought that was just ludicrous, but he took the magnifying glass and he got down on his knees and began to look at that little flower. And then all of a sudden, he was just amazed at the beauty and the complexity of that little bitty flower. He saw every little color in its petal and saw all the little veins running through the leaves of that flower. And he was just awestruck for a moment as he looked at that flower. When he stood up and he gave the magnifying glass back to the botanist, and the botanist noticed that he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "Sir, why are you crying?" And the farmer said, "You know, I have walked over these flowers for years. And I've known that they were there. I could see that they were there, but I never really saw them before." Now, I think that's how it is when it comes to the familiar places in the Word of God. We hear them all the time. We see them all the time without really seeing them. And so I want to kind of focus ourselves in tonight like a laser on just one verse out of this beautiful psalm. Now, of course you know that the first verse kind of sets everything up. Everything that is said in this psalm is based on verse number one. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, everything else is based upon that. Listen to me. If you cannot say that, then you cannot claim anything else in this psalm. If you cannot say that with absolute certainty, that the Lord is my shepherd, then you do not have the right to anything else that is said in this psalm. Now, I have been told that there's no word for thee in the Hebrew, and you will notice that the word is there is in italics. That means it was not in the original. The King James translators were honest men. And many times you'll find italicized words in our King James Bible, and they were odd enough to say that this was not in the original. It was put there for clarity. So if that be the case, then actually what David is saying, he is saying, Jehovah, my shepherd. And everything else is based upon that. I can lie down in green pastures because of Jehovah, my shepherd. I am led beside the still waters because of Jehovah, my shepherd. So everything hinges then on that very first statement, you see. Now, I don't want to take the time to read all of this psalm to you tonight, but let me just read verse number three. This is really what got stuck in my mind this week. In verse number three, and I like this because it shows us, folks, that God cares for us. David said, listen, he restoreth my soul. Now, I'll be honest with you. That is going to be my first point here in just a few moments, but that is where I really got stuck. In fact, I got stuck so much on that first statement, I spent two whole days in my study just thinking about that statement. Finally, on the second day, I kind of out of frustration a little bit because I had so many things bombarding my mind, I just began to write down all the things that occurred to me, that came to my mind since God restoreth my soul. And so I got stuck on that, and that's why I had to come back and take a lot of stuff out today and try to preach that tonight. But isn't that a glorious statement? I mean, listen, he restoreth my soul. I can't tell you how many times I know he has done that in my life. You know, he restoreth my soul. And then he said, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, he said, for his name's sake. And so I want to hone in on that verse of scripture if I can. Listen, even if nobody else cares, God cares for us. I'm glad for that. Listen, we live in a wicked and cruel world. Don't kid yourself, folks. This world cares nothing at all about us. It really doesn't. I read this story about this English teacher that gave her class an assignment one time to write an essay on something interesting and unusual that happened the previous week in their lives. Well, they sat down and they all began to write. When they finished, little Johnny had to go first and read his essay. And he started out by saying, well, what happened this past week that was so interesting is my daddy fell into the well. Well, the teacher stopped him and he said, "My goodness, Johnny, that's terrible. Is your dad all right?" He said, "Well, he must be. He stopped yelling for help yesterday, you know." Isn't that the way many of us are? Listen, we are surrounded with people that need help. We are surrounded every day of our life with people in desperate need of help. And just because, and listen, we work with them, we eat with them, we may even go to church with them. And they're in desperate need of help. And many times, just because the crying stops, we think they're all right. When the fact of the matter is, sometimes they grow weary of crying and getting no help. Listen, the psalmist said one time, a pitiful statement, listen, "No man cared for my soul." May that never be said about us here at Faith Baptist Church. I remember several years ago watching a news report about this woman who was stabbed to death by her live-in boyfriend. And she was in an apartment in New York City, and he stabbed her, I don't remember how many times, but he left her for dead in her apartment. And she laid there for hours on end crying for help. And nobody would come to her aid. That woman laid there, that 26-year-old woman laid there and bled to death in her apartment crying for help. Well, the news crew began to interview her neighbors, and they asked them, why didn't they come and help this woman? One man said, "Well, she's a grown woman. Looks like she could help herself." The other one says, "Well, I thought they were just fighting again, and I did not want to get involved in somebody. I mean, it's their problems. Let them learn how to handle it." And I listened to that news report, and I thought, my soul, that's exactly how we are. Folks, this world cares nothing about us. That sounds like a pessimistic statement, I know, but they do not care about us one iota. But listen, one thing you can bank on is that if nobody else cares, God still cares for us. Now that's what I'm thinking about, and I'm watching the clock, and I got to move along. You thought I was going to say I got a boogie, didn't you? I got to move. I'm going to make sure I don't say that anymore. You make fun of me. But I got to move through these very quickly, and I'll edit as I go. But there's three thoughts that came to my mind about this one verse of Scripture. In the first place, David talks about the grace to restore us. Now, I throw this in because I like, listen, what is mentioned, you understand, in the first part of this verse is a divine work of grace in our lives as God's people. Listen, he restoreth my soul. Now, that, as I said, is where I got stuck. I'm talking about for 2 days, just mulling that over in my mind, that God restores our soul. Now, I had to go back and take out a lot of stuff from that. I hope I didn't take a lot out, but I narrowed it down really to do just two main things. Number one, there is a meaning, I think, here that must be established. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that, as I said and began to think about that, one of the first things that popped in my head is, what does that really mean as far as God's people go, more particularly as far as I go? What is being implied in that statement that God restoreth my soul? So what I did was I got down and dusted off some of my commentaries. I got all these commentaries in my library, spent a lot of money on these commentaries, and I hardly ever touch them. They're there for show. I just got to the point where I don't use commentaries all that much. But I got down a lot of the different commentaries and to see what they had to say about that statement. Now, what really thrilled me, what really intrigued me, is I began to reflect on my life. Now, obviously, you know, we might say, well, he's talking about salvation. And I would go with you a little bit like that. But in salvation, God did much more than just restore my soul. You know, God brought me to life. And so I begin to reflect then after I was saved at how many times I think God has done that in my soul. He has restored my soul. Now, it embarrasses me to say this, but he's had to do it many times, even while I've been pastoring one of his churches. And it is a great thing. So I looked at all these commentaries. I wanted to know what they had to say about it. Now, several different ideas that I read about, but three of them in particular came to the surface. One of them said that he's referring especially to the work of a shepherd as he ministers to a sick sheep. That he may, many times a shepherd may have to go look for a sheep that has been injured or that has gotten sick, and the shepherd will come in and he'll pick him up and he'll doctor him, he'll patch his wounds, he'll bind his limbs, whatever a shepherd has to do. And they said that's what he's talking about, is the work of a shepherd ministering to a sick sheep. I thought, well, yeah, that is true. The good news is, folks, my shepherd is also the great physician. he is. All healing comes from him. You understand? Now, that does not exclude doctors. Don't quit going to the doctor. At least you go to the doctor. I don't like to, but go to the doctor. But listen, all healing ultimately comes from the great physician. So one of them said, well, he's talking about the work, the ministry of a shepherd as he ministers to a sick sheep. Well, yeah, I can see that. Another prevalent view is that he's talking about a shepherd that actually would minister to a weak sheep. And the idea is, in other words, he gives strength to a weak sheep. The idea that as they travel from the sheepfold unto the pasture, many times it was long distances. And so when they got there, they speculate that the shepherd, both the shepherd and the sheep, are weary, they're worn. And so the shepherd finds them a place where they can graze and they can rest and regain their strength. I thought, yeah, that's exactly what the great shepherd does for me many times. Listen, Paul said, when I am weak, then I am I strong, you know. God strengthens us. He does that for us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, you see. So I can see both of those things. But may I suggest to you that there is a greater meaning to that phrase, when he says he restoreth the soul. Now, I've said this to you often, but when you read in the scriptures, many times the simplest interpretation is always the best. We don't need to get way out there. The word restoreth there in the Hebrew, you know what it speaks about? It speaks about bringing back. He does minister to the sick sheep. He does strengthen the weak sheep. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the great ministry of the shepherd is that he will bring back a sheep that has strayed or wandered from the fold. That, to me, is ultimately the meaning of that phrase. Now, that thrills my heart because he's done that for me many times. So we have a meaning that must be established. But the second thing I thought about is this ministry that must be explained. Because you think about this. He says, he restoreth my soul. One of the great ministries the shepherd has for the sheep is that of bringing us back when we wander and when we stray. Now, you will notice that he did not say that he restores a soul, or he restores some soul, or even he restores our souls. It's much more personal. It's much more intimate than that. It is individually. I'm glad to tell you, my shepherd takes care of each of his sheep individually. He restoreth my soul. The idea is that folks, he works individually in my life and brings me back to the shepherd and to the fold. Isn't that a glorious, glorious ministry? Now, I'll tell you this, he does this in a variety of ways. He may use his staff to bring back a straying sheep sometimes, or sometimes he may use his rod to correct a stubborn sheep. But I want to tell you, the shepherd knows how to bring you back. He sure does. He deals with us individually. Here's the thing about a sheep. I told you before, I've raised some sheep. Well, I helped raise some sheep when I was a boy. And here's the thing about sheep. When a sheep is lost, it cannot find its way back. It can't do it on its own. Now, a dog, especially a cat, has a unique way of always finding itself back to back home. I know that because I've dropped off a few cats in my time. And you know, I read a story about this farmer who had a cat he wanted to get rid of. And he gave it away two or three times to different people. And no matter how far away it was, the cat always ended up back home. And his friend told him, said, listen, you put that cat in a sack, you take it way out in the country where it cannot possibly get back, drop it off, and you'll get rid of that cat. Well, the farmer did that. And then a few days later, the man met him and he said, did you take that cat out in the country? He said, I sure did. He said, I put it in the sack. I took it out so far that even I didn't know where I was at. He said, well, did you get rid of it? Did you lose it? He said, lose it. If I hadn't followed the cat back home, I would have never made it back. But a sheep cannot find its way back. When a sheep is lost, it is absolutely hopeless and helpless. It is totally dependent upon the shepherd. I'm going to tell you, God, folks, deals with us individually. He knows how to bring a sheep back. Now, you think about this. God, and he does it many ways, as I said. Many times he may convict us. And listen, let's be honest. We're all prone to wander sometimes from the Lord. Every one of us, we sing the song, what is it, Come Thou Fount? When we sing, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's true. And I always wonder, why is that? I don't know. But every one of us are prone to wander away from the Lord. And folks, the Lord knows how to bring his sheep back. He will start out by convicting you. And listen, I'm talking about Holy Spirit conviction is a very powerful thing. But if that doesn't work, he may correct you. If that doesn't work, he may chastise you. I shudder when somebody says, well, the Lord's just going to have to whip me. You don't want the Lord to whip you. I can tell you that. He'll do it in any number of ways. I'm just trying to tell you, he's a good shepherd. He knows how to correct. He knows how to chastise his sheep. He'll do whatever is necessary. He may touch your health, he may touch your finances, he may touch your job. Hey, he may touch your children, but he'll do what it takes, you know. And that is a great ministry of the shepherd. It's already 7 o'clock, and I got to boogie, I'll say that. David speaks about first this grace to restore. Secondly, he speaks about what I would call guidance to renew. Now, what I mean by this, not only the grace that he undertakes in my life or in parts of my life, but the guidance he undertakes also. Here's what he said. Now, notice the care that is manifested to us. I like this. David said, he leadeth me. Now I got to skip through a lot of this, but let me just tell you, that implies a great amount of concern on the part of the shepherd for the sheep. God is concerned about you. Isn't that good? It implies a great amount of care for the sheep. It implies a great amount of compassion that he has for the sheep. You know, it is. Now, here's what thrills me. He leadeth me. It is the connection between the shepherd and his sheep. It is he and me. It is the shepherd with the gulf between the shepherd and the sheep has been closed. It is the infinite with the finite. You know, it is he and me. He leadeth me. We sing the song, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort thought. Whatever I do, wherever I be, it's still God's hand that leadeth me. Folks, God leads us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we have the care that was manifested, but notice the course also that's marked out. And here's what he says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Now, I've shared this with you before, but sheep, it's not that they're not stupid animals. It's not that at all. They tend to be stubborn. And sheep many times will always walk in the same trails to the point of where they wear them down to ruts. And they will graze over the same pasture until it's a wasteland. They don't know enough without the leadership of the shepherd, you know, to get in better paths and to go to better pastures. Right? Well, here's the thing. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Now, again, the simplest definition is always the best. You know what that means? He leads me in paths that are right. Yeah, many times I wonder and I get on the wrong path, if you will, and the shepherd has to bring me back to the right path. So we have grace to restore, guidance to renew, and lastly, as I'm editing, we have glory to receive. Here's how he puts it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I thought a lot about that. The very name of God himself is on the line here. Folks, if God ever lost one sheep, he dishonors his name. Sure does. I thought about Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I love that verse of Scripture. His name is called Wonderful. He takes care of the distresses in my life. That very name is on the line. His name is Counselor. He takes care also of the decisions of my life. Listen, I am to rely upon the shepherd for every decision that I make. That very name as Counselor is on the line. He is the Mighty God. He takes care of the dilemmas in my life. God's in charge. Nothing's ever out of control because God is in control. He is the Everlasting Father, takes care of the difficulties in my life. Nothing's too hard for God. He is the Prince of Peace. He takes care of the disturbances in my life. That name is on the line. Hey, folks, God will not mar his own name. God will not bring dishonor to his name. He is the Good Shepherd. He knows how to care for his sheep. So, I don't know how to end this thing out, but I'm just going to tell you again, it don't matter. Listen, if nobody else cares, God always cares for us. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God cares for us. Let's stand. We'll close. First and second verse. Brother Bo, what number? 319. If you have a need, you come.